You fell asleep in my car, I drove the whole time. But that's okay, I'll just avoid the hole so you sleep fine. I'm driving here, I sit, cursing my government for not using my taxes to fill holes with more cement. You fell asleep in my
I wrote that.
Car, I drove the whole not time. Yet.
Okay. 21 Pilots, my favorite band.
Hey, folks, welcome to the WSB Traffic Podcast. Trying to deliver it more often to you than we have in the past. You know, it's a quarterly thing. You're not supposed to get this podcast as often as you got report cards in high school. Okay, that's kind of the goal. Doug Fireball Turnbull here, joined by Smiling Mark McKay.
Hey,
how you doing, sir?
We have guests. I like this. It's sort of like...
Oh, we do have guests. That was just going
to
be us.
We're starting to turn into... Kimmel or Fallon, where we have folks sitting at the sofa now. It's just not you and I chatting it up for 45 minutes.
Exactly. And we need to start doing that more often. And I think there isn't a more appropriate time to bring in people than when we have marquee traffic incidents that they were in the nucleus of covering. So we're joined today by Mike Shields and Alex Williams from the traffic team, who were our quarterbacks on duty during our traffic Super Bowl Saturday, and a very tragic one at that. I'm not saying that to make light at all, because Saturday we had not only this major fire, but two people lost their lives in a crash on I-85 North at Jimmy Carter that ended up playing into most of the day Saturday, and will be something that people, when I was out with friends and things during the day Saturday, it's what a lot of people were talking about. I was amazed by how many people didn't know what it was, by the way, but still a lot of people were talking about it. And I think it's something, as I said to you, I think Smiling already, and we're going to talk about this on Jay Black's year-end show. I'm going to make sure it's a marquee traffic story. So I want to open this up by starting with Mike, because Mike was on duty. He's on duty with us every PM drive and roughly somewhere between 2:30 and 8:30, depending on the day.
Yes.
For 4 or 5 hours each Monday through Friday. And then on Saturday mornings, you work 6 to 10 a.m. And, Mike, before we even talk about this Saturday, you've been having to deal with some stuff each Saturday in succession the last few weeks that's not been quiet at all.
Unfortunately, no. It seems like it's been very busy on Saturday morning. So I do radio and TV, Channel 2 Action News, on Saturday morning. So we try to deliver on all platforms if there's something big. And unfortunately, like you hinted to, Doug, the last 3 weeks, it seems to be some type of fatality crash investigation that has shut down at least one interstate for several hours, and unfortunately this Saturday was no different.
That just goes to show you can never let your guard down. Motorists nope. Think the Monday through Friday grind, and now we've got even lighter than normal Fridays for the most part, unless weather gets involved. Really we can wipe that off. Used to think Saturdays you'd get a break, but with construction around the metro and the unexpected, we're on duty 24/7.
That is true, and unfortunately Saturday changed for the worst of things. The biggest issue and top Atlanta traffic story up until 8 a.m. was construction, mm-hmm. was road work on the west side perimeter, and that was really causing a mess, and that's what our lead was until 8 o'clock. What
right, happened? It's construction. Which part of the perimeter at that point?
On the west side
perimeter.
Yeah,
the inner around Hollowell.
Inner and outer.
Out they had southbound at South Cobb, yeah.
Big airport trek.
Yes, two right lanes shut down in both directions. Yep. So that was the top traffic story until this occurred.
That's crazy. So let's go through that. You send me a text message of what you're seeing on a DOT camera at about 8 a.m., right as I had informed you that Floyd Hillman had an emergency, and we're thankful that emergency has been handled, but he couldn't do his normal 10 to 3 shift. So I immediately call Alex Williams to come in to be able to help you. Alex is always the guy that shows up early because you live close by, Alex.
Yes.
Mike and Alex show up. If we had to – let me put it this way. If I had a dollar for every hour that Mike and Alex showed up early over the times that I've known them to work – I would retire because they show up really early for their shift. So, Alex, you're showing up early. So we're thinking it's a normal day. I tell Mike about it before we get to Alex's part of the story. Mike sends me a picture of some fire or something. And, again, I'm trying to plan a NASCAR remote from another racing podcast, Five to Go, that I do. I'm like, okay, I didn't even really see it.
Right.
And then I go and walk Stalls, my dog. Mm-hmm. I come back inside. I've talked to Floyd. I've talked to Alex. We're all set. Everything's great. It's 8:15, 8:30. And I look at the TV, and I'm like, oh, boy. And then they keep talking about it, and I sort of really start paying, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you happen upon this? Because I like to brag on our team. I don't like to brag on me so much as our team, but you were the one that broke this story. So what led you to even be looking for this, and how did you break this I-85 Jimmy Carter story?
So I think one thing we take pride in is that we are the Atlanta traffic experts. We are always on the offensive. We're always looking for things, and we have many, many scanners going on in the traffic center 24/7. And just like any other call, you just hear chatter. So if you hear, for instance, I heard Gwinnett authorities. It was actually the cab at first looking for something. And they didn't say what it was. It was just reported of a crash. And I checked the first thing while I was hearing it. I was getting actually the maps ready for our TV hit, which is normally around 8:05, 8:10, or 8:10-ish, somewhere around there.
I like 8:10. That's good.
Yeah, 8:10.
We need to roll with that.
And somewhere in between there. So I was just messing with our maps, getting that ready for the TV report. And I hear this. I'm like, okay, well, let's see what's going on. And checked our sensors that we have. No delays. And then all of a sudden, while I'm checking the maps and just kind of scrolling through, seeing if I can see anything going on, I hear this screaming over one of the scanners. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I just hit the first cam I looked at. It's always my go-to cam. It was over there at 85 at Jimmy Carter.
Camera 87, huh?
Camera 87.
Yeah.
Good old 87.
And as soon as it opened, it was just this massive ball of fire covering the entire interstate, 85 northbound.
And this is at what time?
This was 8 o'clock. It was about 8:01 probably at this point. And my jaw just dropped. Mm-hmm. So I immediately called our TV producer, Kimberly Page. And I said,
now, how do we know Kimberly?
That is my lovely fiance.
That's it. So I want to say that Alex made the long play here. Alex knew we needed to improve our relationship with TV.
He took it for the team.
And so he took one for the team to make sure that we had a producer in Saturday mornings that was sensitive to traffic needs.
Yes.
Okay, no, but see, no, you contacted Kimberly. And again, it's a to-do. It's a real coordination because we're really radio guys that got hired and sometimes do TV traffic.
Yes.
That's really how, even though we're the radio and TV traffic center, radio does traffic, Smiling, 24/7. You're involved in the morning team with TV, but our meat and potatoes is radio.
Well, just the frequency. The frequency app. That
yes.
We do it, yeah.
And so, you have to coordinate because anytime you change something on radio, you want to change the report, you just say different words.
Just like that.
On TV, it's, okay, we need a different camera, you need to move us up in the show, and there's some right. automated things they have to monkey around with. Mm-hmm. So you call Kimberly.
So I call her, and I say, hey, you have to take me now. I have this camera pulled up. And by the time I was able to tell her about the camera and what I was seeing, she saw it, and she immediately knew this was serious.
What was her radio-friendly reaction?
some type of loud, oh, my gosh, type stuff going on. And so about 8:02, 8:03, we went live on Channel 2, breaking in. Obviously, we were seeing the first footage of this fire that has just happened, this awful crash and explosion that took place. So I did that report. And then right on time for our radio hit, which was 8:05, I was the first to break it on radio, too. At that point, we notified the news desk. They were our newsroom.
The radio newsroom.
Yes.
Yes.
And our music station. So everybody knew what was going on. We were getting the information out, and it snowballed from there.
Smiling and I have spent, as you probably added up now, hours over this podcast in the last 2 or 3 years, really trying to give people perspective on what goes into making the sausage and how important it is to be plugged in via our app and our social media, wsbradio.com/traffic. And one of the things we have taken a deep dive on is when it's something critical like this that is going to be, if anything, and I don't mean to make light of it, but a viral story that everybody's going to be interested in, suddenly, oh, yeah, we care about traffic. Oh, all these people that didn't care about traffic before that much, suddenly, and you're having to coordinate all of this while still performing the normally assigned top-of-mind priority duties flawlessly.
And I will say, I apologize for not mentioning, we did have it on our digital platforms, the Triple Team Traffic Alerts app, and all of our Twitter and social media pages. It was put out within minutes. So we covered everything, and it's amazing what we do every day. This is just something all of us do in the traffic center, and we're so grateful we have all these platforms to try to reach and inform as many people, the public, as we can to say, hey, you don't want to go that way.
Give the podcast listener an insight into your adrenaline in a situation like that.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Really, it's just kind of you just get in the zone. Your first point, my first thought is, all right, what do I need to do first? Obviously, at that point, TV was taking me. And I had a minute before the radio hit because they were in commercial and we had a scheduled traffic hit. So it just made sense to do that. So we went TV, radio. At the same time I was doing TV and radio, we work on our app. So I'm typing the incident. I push it immediately, which you get the push notifications of an alert.
Right, so you have to plot the incident on a map, type in the text, and put in all the places people can hear the endpoints.
Yes.
You had to record the audio report. And then separate from that, you're sending the push notification, the little badge ID or alert, if you will, on your phone.
We also do it to the actual WSB radio app.
That's more work.
Yes, at the same time. And at the same time, we do our Twitter pages, the Triple Team Traffic's page, WSB Radio's page, and the AJC Traffic page.
Yeah, at AJC WSB Traffic, at WSB Traffic, at WSB Radio. Got all that, everybody? Yes, okay. Now, and it's a lot of copy to paste and a lot of time, and it's tedious in a way because even though it's the same information, you're having to put it into different formats, different places.
Yes.
You've got it all, and you're doing that in between discovering the incident, hearing about it, discovering it on a camera, communicating with TV that it gets on TV. The TV report does an extra traffic report, or did they do it just, or did the anchor voice it at that point?
No, I did multiple.
You did an extra traffic report then. Then you get on radio. You'd already recorded your radio report that didn't have the fire in it, right? Because you recorded a radio report before the fire happened.
Yeah,
is that right?
I immediately told our board op to drop that, take me live.
Jason
Byers is the man. And we went live. We went back live on TV, and just every couple minutes, literally, either on radio or TV, it was a live report. On top of all the phone calls coming in,
right? Because suddenly people care about their phones again and want to talk to you when you have the least amount of time. And that was true. Snowpocalypse, which we just passed the 6-year anniversary of, it was one of those of all the times I could not take phone calls. That would be great, and that's when they all come in. So Mike, you got this thing off the ground, and then as the details unfolded, and then I want to get to Alex's part of the story as well. As the details came in. So I remember the 85 bridge fire. We had no idea what exactly was on fire.
Right.
And it's sort of a game of telephone. At this point, at what point did you know that it was a tanker truck on fire that was caused by a wreck, eventually the people died, and then spread to the other side of the interstate, how it spread? Can you kind of say what happened and then how you found out and how quickly you found out?
A lot of it was through scanner traffic, listening to the agencies. And multiple agencies were involved. The cab authorities were on scene, Gwinnett authorities, fire, everybody. Hero units showed up. And that was – you could kind of actually see the beginning. You could see like a truck cab, like a tractor trailer cab. And just with the fire being so big, you knew something had to be big that was involved. Gwinnett, I will say, Gwinnett police, they were great with trying to get out information to us as quickly as possible.
They were. Yeah.
And unfortunately, as you hinted to, two people passed away in this event. But I will say it was feared that more were involved initially.
And it's rare that we see a crash, guys. I mean, Smiling, you've covered traffic for maybe longer than all those combined. Certainly the longest in the room. It's rare that you see a crash or even a fire, for that matter, that causes so many things surrounding to get evacuated. I don't recall covering a crash except for the 85 bridge fire that people are being evacuated from their cars and surrounding businesses are in danger.
Unless it was propane or some kind of chemical that was leaking from either a tanker or maybe a train that derails. Yeah. I actually went back and reviewed since, again, inside baseball. Saturday morning is really the only morning I can, quote-unquote, sleep in.
Yeah.
Even on Sunday morning, I get myself up early to get ready to get back into Monday morning and routine.
Yeah.
So Saturday morning, I woke up very late to this. So I went back. And the thing, Mike, that and then Alex will, because this came as we probably walked in the door, was the fact that not only did you have northbound shut down, then you started seeing the camera widen out, southbound shut down, because there's more smoke on the other side of the interstate.
Yeah. So how does this, I mean, we know the answer in the room, but can you explain? I mean, this is what made this so rare. There's so many things. It's the enormity of the fire, and then it travels.
The fire itself was massive. I mean, all you have to do is look back at the footage. All five lanes of 85 northbound were covered in flames, and they were getting close to the southbound lane. So most of the first responders that were on scene, obviously they were behind the fire coming northbound. So they were trying to get people on the southbound lanes to shut it down some to for safety reasons.
Yeah.
But at the same time, before they could even get there, the liquid that this fuel tanker was carrying, this flammable liquid that wasn't on fire, was leaking into a sewer drain on the side of I-85. So it was only
at that point pouring in. At that point,
yes. Yeah. So so in a matter of moments, that fire or that liquid caught on fire, shot up underneath I-85, shot across the northbound lanes, underneath 85 to the southbound lanes, and shot up on the other side. So, and then around the median as well. So you had three separate fires shooting up out of the ground all across 85 north and southbound. and the businesses.
And they spelled out the numbers 28-3. I don't know.
Yes.
It took on an apocalyptic look. Yeah.
And this is true. And at the same time, they were evacuating businesses nearby on the side of I-85 and drivers in their cars north and southbound. They were evacuating them out of their vehicles and just making them run. There's a lot of footage on social media about that. And afterwards, several hours later, after the fire was out and they were, you know, doing their investigation and looking about, all right, what do we have to do? We have to fix 85. It reminded me of Snow Jam, Snow Apocalypse, because there were just...
You just told me this yesterday, and I didn't know what you're about to share until you shared this with me.
A sea of vehicles turned sideways in all different directions, just abandoned because they were forced to leave. And a lot of people, you know, didn't know if they could come back and get them. So Hero units and tow trucks, they had to get them out there to tow these vehicles out of the roadway just to start the cleanup process.
And this all started, by the way, I've written a couple different times a gridlock guy. And this past week I wrote a gridlock guy about the move over law and seeing flashing lights and trying to stay out of that right lane if they're on the right shoulder and slow down, because a number of people die in those roadside incidents. 23 nationwide responders died. In this case, there was a crash in the middle lanes already. There was an initial problem that got made a heck of a lot worse. There was somebody stopped in a Volkswagen or something like that, and this truck just plowed into them. They were already involved in a separate crash from what I read from the Gwinnett police press release. And so one small problem turned into a huge 10-hour problem. And why was it a 10-hour problem?
Because I-85 had to be completely repaved. The fire was so intense and so devastating, it ruined the infrastructure, so it wouldn't be safe for any vehicles to be traveling on. And, it's just a horrible, horrible situation.
It was horrible before anything caught fire, because I think more the collision than the fire itself was the most dangerous part for the two people that lost their lives. And that truck was completely mangled. The pavement got damaged, and I've got to hand it to our first responders, and Mike used to be one with Marietta Police. I got to hand it to your ilk, okay, because they put themselves in the line of danger. And then to the DOT for making strategic and quick decisions to scrape the top layer pavement off and get it repaved. And I thought we would be shut down Monday. I had no idea, you know, how bad
this was. God bless our first responders. I mean, they did the best they could. I'm not going to go into detail about what we hear on the scanners and stuff, but I will say there was a lot of dangerous efforts that they put themselves out there just to try to save as many lives as they could. And that stuff never gets recognized, but they do it every day and every night.
Amen. And by the way, it's the same kind of things, the same kind of quick decision-making that saved lives on the police and fire EMS side, as were made in the 85 bridge fire, where the fire captain or chief or whoever was said, get him out, and got his guys and girls out from under that bridge before it collapsed. So I call Alex, not because the bridge is on fire, but because I need to put out a scheduling fire, a staffing fire.
Right.
Because Floyd Hillman had to call at the last second. I mean, it was 2 hours. He gave me 2 hours notice. It was great, and I'm so glad his emergency and situation is fixed, and he's great, and he's in good shape, and he'll be back. So, Alex, you're sitting there, you get up early on Saturday morning for a non-traffic reason, and kind of walk us through your morning and get us into the traffic center real quick.
Yeah, so I set an alarm for about 6 o'clock Saturday morning, because this past Saturday was the first time Ashley Frasca's new gardening show was airing on WSB.
Green and Growing.
And she's great with us on the traffic team, so I wanted to be supportive and listen to that. And I always try to wake up early when Kimberly's producing the news to watch her newscast. And Mike Shields, just like you did to you, sent me a picture of that fire, and I instantly replied to him. I was like, that's not just a car fire.
Right.
And we knew it was big, and then you called me, and I knew how swamped he was, so I just did the best I could to grab a quick shower and get up here and help him out, because I knew, you know, I needed to help him before 10 a.m. when Floyd's shift would have started, just because there
was
so much
going on.
You got
there about 9:15, right?
Yes.
At 9:15, so you come in, and I didn't plan this, okay? I mean, but these are two of, you know, Mike works every Saturday. Alex rarely works weekends. It just the way things shake out. And we had two of our stars that were on the air during something so terrible that happened and so impactful on the roadway. So I send you into a complete S storm and a bear trap. And so what was your reaction coming in there, and how did you immediately get to work? What did you do to help Mike?
So I knew he still was doing stuff for TV, and we also needed to get on radio. So I told him, I said, you focus on TV. When you can join me on radio, you join me on radio. I'll handle all that. You got enough going on over there. So he did that. When he wasn't doing TV hits, he joined me on radio. We were doing triple team traffic, which isn't really done on a weekend very often unless something like this happens.
Not unless it hits the fan.
Exactly.
No, sir.
So we team covered it the best we could. He said, you know, he was handling the app. I was like, anything needs to be tweeted, I'll take care of the tweets. And we just really collaborated to work as a team to get it out there as much as we could. He wrote down all the stuff, handwritten out all the information about what was going on to give to the jocks on all the music stations, because they aren't traffic nerds like us. So
right, they're not just going
to
look
it
up and say it the right way. Yeah.
Right. So we did that, and I told him during the middle of covering it, I said, I think this is the worst thing I've seen since the bridge fire, which I was in the traffic center with Smiling
right.
when that happened.
And we've gone through that before. That's crazy. Smiling, in your reaction, I'm sure you're a news wonk anyway. So when you hear news, for instance, Monday about Rush Limbaugh and his advanced lung cancer, or the Iowa caucus debacle for the Democratic primary or whatever, that's stuff that is on your radar. So for this, you're already mind push alerts are already travel advisories, but they're already going off. I'm sure it was tough to sit still once you finally realized what was going on.
Well,
right?
I knew we were in good hands when I called Alex, and I didn't even
Same
know
here.
I did not know I didn't know any of the scenarios, because I know you're the same way. You would jump in if you were not already occupied.
I
would have jumped. In, I would have
oh
jumped
my
in.
God, almost did.
I wouldn't
me.
Have jumped in if I had
I
already, if I had slept till 9 o'clock. You know, I would have jumped in as well, because we both have the ability to broadcast live. And thank goodness, when snow or bad weather happens, we have the ability to broadcast from our homes directly or our vehicles. So, I mean, would I have gone out there? No, I wouldn't have gone any close to there. But I would have certainly lent whatever hands I could to these guys. But when Alex answered and Mike was on, I said, okay, then everything's covered. But, you know, we do check in. I've had a pilot. I had one of our pilots tell me sometime, you get all amped up for red alerts. Well, I don't want to see a red alert. I don't want to see terrible things happen on the road. But what I do want to see, and I think all of us are this way, and Mike, Alex were the same way Saturday morning, you don't want anybody to get caught in that. You want to give as
no.
much notice to anybody. Avoid it if you can. Do not get caught. And those who are in it, they don't know what's going on.
That's right.
And that's the thing with that Saturday, is with it being an interstate shutdown at one time in both directions, and it lasting so long, you really kind of start scratching your head like, where am I going to tell these people to go? Mm-hmm. This Peachtree Industrials jam, Buford Highways jam, Shambly Tucker's jam. You just kind of got to get further out, tell people to avoid it, and just try to plan your best alternates.
I was out with some friends right next to my house in Shambly at a restaurant called Hopsticks. And it was some acquaintances and then a lot of people I didn't know. And so we were sitting next to two people, and they asked what I do, and that ended up being a lot of the conversation, especially on Saturday. And one of them was stuck in it. He was stuck, and he goes, I'm sitting there, I'm looking at my phone, and of course I'm like, you're looking at your phone, great. You know, but I'm like, you know, you're holding your phone, yeah. But and I have no idea why I'm stuck in the slow traffic. And I was like, do I have an app for you? Do I have a radio station? And he is someone that, because of the politics on the station, just refuses to listen to 95.5 WSB. And I'm like, okay, you gotta understand the news, weather, the traffic, they're apolitical. He didn't want to hear it. So I said, okay, fine. You don't like that. The app. I was like, and this lady sitting across, she goes, I know, I get stuck all the time. I have no idea. And I'm like, yeah, we could tell you if they're on the northbound side, even in mid-afternoon or sometime early evening, two left lanes opened.
Mm-hmm.
Your app is going to tell you, your other apps are going to tell you that it's shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And you should treat it like it's shut down. I get it. But if you're stuck in it, you need to know that there's a way out. And we're going to give you context, huge fire, Mike. We're going to give you context, Alex, two left lanes are open. To tell you those things, the human element is still important, and I'm not just saying that because my retirement depends on that. Okay, so I'm just so I want to ask two quick questions, real quick, and then we'll get out of here. Number one is Alex on later on that day. So 85 is still a huge story into the early evening before it opens, about 6 p.m. or so is when it opened. Then you're dealing with huge construction delays west side. We won't get into those, and then you deal with Rockdale County. A multi-hour situation again.
Yeah, that was just one of those things. So we never let our guard down. Like Mike said, I knew that this 85 isn't the only thing going on. I got to keep my eyes on the sensors because anything else could pop. And sure enough, I-20 eastbound out in Rockdale County at exit 82, I believe,
yeah,
Highway 138, completely shut down. And I couldn't see it because there was a bridge in the way, but I saw no traffic coming by. So I was like, all right, we got another red alert.
Great.
And that one ended up just creeping on and lasting for hours and hours. So had those two things to cover. We also were having Georgia basketball on, which limits the amount of time we can do traffic, but we work with our board op, and I was doing as many reports as I could to try to—
Yeah, Rachel did a great job there.
And, you know, I knew people were stuck on 285 because they were calling me, but it was one of those things where I didn't know when I was going to have time to talk about it.
If you don't hear it on the radio, Smiling, you can always turn to the app or turn to WSBradio.com, WSBTV.com's traffic page, and get that information. All right, last question before we break. Smiling. So we get through all this. That's a huge story that we think is going to last into Monday and be a huge thing. And certainly it was talked about. But it was over by 6 p.m. Monday. And then what do you know? As soon as 6 a.m. rolls around Monday, WSB Skycopter gets all feisty and fiery again, same spot.
Yeah, this was a story that certainly bled into Monday morning because of the follow-up to it. So the news was doing it. Last morning news was doing it. And we're flying south at about 6:30 in the Skycopter, leaving Gwinnett into DeKalb County on a southbound route over Jimmy Carter Boulevard. I look up and say, hold on, guys, because the pilot has to ask us for which way, right about there, he says, which way we're going to go, into downtown, we're going to go 285 west, 285 east. He needs to let the air traffic controllers know which way we're heading. So we get to Jimmy Carter Boulevard. I said, let's go downtown. So we keep going. I said, whoa, hold up. That's a car fire. It literally had just played out on the northbound side. Not sure the footage, but it was how many feet behind the original incident on Saturday, but pretty much on top of where they repaved I-85, there was a car fire, 6:30 Monday morning, 85 northbound before Jimmy Carter Boulevard. And the things I was saying, you know, this is an incredible coincidence, you know, deja vu all over again. The details we got of that was it was a crash. It was a stolen vehicle. They were running
fast. Oh, I didn't realize that.
They were running pretty fast up I-85. It was a Charger. They hit another vehicle. That vehicle went back into the concrete wall, burst into flames. But what we saw, Doug, and Bob Howdy, our pilot, first saw it, was fuel going down the side of the roadway. I said, is this somehow rekindled? Yeah, you could see, because we were up there well before Gwinnett, they got on 85 at Jimmy Carter, came south, they had to come north to get to it. So we were there well before the fire trucks arrived, and we did see fuel going down the side of the roadway next to the median from that, obviously, vehicle that went back in and then burst into flames.
Oh, my gosh.
Minor injuries from what Gwinnett police had said to the driver involved in that, but... If you're caught in it Saturday and you're rolling to work on Sunday, on Monday morning on 85 South and seeing the same thing, you're like, here we go again.
It spooked you, for sure. Yeah.
And I get emails in response to my column and gridlock guy about the move over law. Say, what is this phenomenon going on at 85 at Jimmy Carter?
I was like, lots of that on social media.
Causation and correlation, man. I think it's just a coincidence there. But certainly we see patterns of different types of incidents the same type of incident that may happen at different places or at construction zones, a lot of times there'll be these certain zones where certain crashes and bad ones happen over and over. We talked about it last week, Smiling, and the podcast before, 75 South, 675 when it rains.
Yes.
Those probably aren't a coincidence. This one having two vehicle fires, same spot, they're caused by crashes. If it happens a third time, maybe we'll ask some more questions. So we're out of time, folks. Alex has got to get back at the traffic center. Mike and I have a meeting. Smiling's getting in, and then we got PM Drive right after that. So thanks for joining us on the WSB Traffic Podcast. Before we go, where can we find each of you guys on social media? Alex.
At Alex Williams, WSB.
All right.
At McKay, WSB.
That's Mark McKay, just so you know.
At Mike Shields, WSB.
There you go. Follow them on Twitter. Find them on Facebook and Instagram, different places as well, folks. I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for trusting 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk. Drive safe.
We have the largest ships and vessels, and also 6,638 miles of graded road. 6,638 miles of